Welcome to First Post Masterclass, our brand new podcast series where elite athletes break down their craft for you. My name is Shantanu Srivastava, and joining me in this episode is celebrated fitness trainer Ramji Srinivasan. Ramji has trained a number of elite Indian athletes, and he was also the strength and conditioning coach of the 2011 World Cup winning cricket team. In this edition of First Post Masterclass, we'll talk about sports fitness and the right way to go about it. How do you define fitness? I mean, is it a mental thing, emotional thing, or just pure physical thing?
According to me, fitness, this is definition which I quote always, basically. Mm-hmm. It's an ability of an individual to harness his or her potentiality to maximum, be it physical, be it physiological, be it psychological, or be it social. Mm-hmm. It's harnessing the maximum out of every aspect of the holistic approach. Because these three are very, very, very important. The physical, the psychological, and the social. These three are important components. Okay. So once you're able to harness this to the maximum potential, you get the best desired result in whichever field, whether it can be sports, whether it can be business, or whether it can be your daily life, basically. It is easier said than done, but it's difficult to get that everything in ratios.
Right.
It's like Fibonacci series.
So, do you think in our sports ecosystem, does psychological and emotional aspects of fitness are given enough importance?
Not enough importance has been given. Definitely not, because normally a person, even a normal person, goes through lots of ups and downs in a day, in a particular day.
Right.
You know, from morning to evening, there is a difference in the way you think, the difference in the way you feel. You know, everything is different. And because the way you interact with people, no man is an island. No, you have to interact with your colleagues, you have to interact with your staff, etc., etc. So it has not been given definitely due importance in India, especially, and also it's a stigma in India, no?
Right.
And it starts from movies where people make fun of a guy who is, you know, he's mental. That is not a right thing to do.
Right. And you know, we see what is happening around with mental fitness these days. People are speaking up.
They are coming out of the shell.
Yeah.
And it is a crying need for sure. Because they undergo a lot of pressure situations, expectations. There are other subtle pressures happening, performance pressures, etc., etc. So one need to address that in greater depth. It's not doing it superficially, because just by sitting and talking, you know, it has to be dealt every aspect of mental conditioning, because it's a huge field, you know, and every aspect needs to be addressed. Individually, because one size doesn't fit all.
Right.
Because what suits one man, what is a trigger for one man may not be a trigger for other. So it has to be individualized, sit down, and in a private conversation. It cannot be done in a group. You know, it has to be done in a private conversation, because a lot of non-disclosure agreements are involved.
Right.
So confidentiality has to be built first. The trust has to be built with the psychologist or a sports psychologist or a psychiatrist or whoever you want to see.
Right.
You know, those sort of things, how to avoid it, to how to identify, avoid it later, how to identify is do a testing. For your physiology, emotional quotient test, intelligent quotient test, this sort of testing needs to be done to understand the basic psyche of an individual sports person, whether he is an aggressor, whether he can be pushed, because every coach deals with a team differently and an individual differently. There are also different types of coaches who approaches the game in a different way. So whether in a team of 10, 6 may be motivated by the coach, 4-5 may be totally demotivated because of his approach.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
It is not wrong of the coach, but that is the way coach operates.
Yeah.
Whether he's a successful coach or an unsuccessful coach, that's the way the coaches operate. So it has to be dealt with individually from the skill set point of view to other aspect also. because it affects in every level, from skill level to performance, whatever it is, physical level, it affects everything.
Right.
So one needs to be very mindful of choosing the right person for the job. Second, it confident, utmost confidentiality has to be maintained. Very critical, very critical. Otherwise, what happens is once the things are leaked out to the media, leaked out to fellow, you know, players or opponents, they can work on the psychology. They can work. That is the trump card, no?
Right. Right. So, just for my knowledge, Ram, you deal with the physical aspect of fitness only, or are you into...
No, I deal only with physical aspect of fitness because I'm not a qualified sports psychologist. That's a different sport. I mean, different ball game altogether.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So again, this is you know, completely for my knowledge. So you know, this Steve Waugh devised this term called mental disintegration, where where the Australian cricket team would intimidate the opposition, and primarily the captain. Primarily the captain. They would go after the most important player of the team.
Absolutely. That was done in 1990s and 2000s.
Yeah, yeah, right. So, I mean, when a team does that, or when an opposition does that to you, does how do you counter that? Does it really need a sports psychologist to understand what the opposition is and condition your players for that, or? How do you really
I think it's all a part. The psychological intimidation has been happening not only in cricket, in every sport. Most of them, they say, no cliche, it was most of the battle is won off court before you enter the field itself. You know, that is when the game starts. A lot of people don't understand. The game starts from the time you land on the ground, before even in the practice sessions.
Right.
You know, how the other people can intimidate you or pull you out, you know, other teams. To show off that they are superior physically and mentally, even during the next session or practice session, they can intimidate you because it is those are the off-field behavior. So it starts from there. So one need to understand the body language, very important, and the what they use, the glare, the look, etc., etc.
Right.
Body language is very critical to understand.
The interesting part is the Australians did it all their lives, and then somebody like Glenn Maxwell came out last year and said that he had mental issues with mental strength. So you would never know from exterior, from far afar, that...
You will never know. Yeah, exactly. That's what the screening is very critical.
Right.
Isn't it?
Right.
Nobody does it in India. Nobody does it because I'm sure... top soccer clubs and NFLs and NBAs, they all do that.
Yeah.
All the psychological profiling is called.
Yeah. All right,
once you know, that is critical. Okay.
All right. Returning to the physical aspect of fitness, I would like to know, how much effect do genes have on one's fitness? I know there's this concept of fast twitch muscle fibers and all.
Yeah.
Talk about that also, but... is it really all about genes, and how much role does a gene pool play?
Yes, genetic plays a major role, definitely, because you are born with certain type of muscle fibers, you are born with certain type of parameters, you know, you are made like that in the initial stages, you cannot change it, you know, cannot... For example, some are born with fast-twitch muscle fiber, some are born with slow-twitch muscle fiber, some are born with a combination which bordering on either fast-twitch or slow-twitch, which can be converted by training.
Okay.
Because genetic definitely plays an important role in strength of the muscle, the thickness of the muscle, you know, the lung capacity, the anaerobic threshold, the flexibility aspect of it, and also the endurance aspect of it. Definitely it plays a very critical role in the initial stage. I mean, when you're made of that.
Right.
So it also influences the type of muscle fiber you have, fast twitch or slow twitch or combination or a glycolytic muscle, you know all those things, you know, that. So, it is, there are certain saying the athletes are made, athletes are born, fast bowlers are born, some of the sprinters are born, you cannot make a mule into a racehorse, you know, but there is also, there are certain things which is proven by working on the combination fiber. This was proven by one of the sports scientists from Finland. Way back in 70s or 80s,
Okay.
That fast twitch muscle fiber or a combination muscle fiber that mm-hmm. is in the border
yeah.
can be converted either to fast twitch muscle fiber or slow twitch muscle fiber.
Okay.
It can be converted through training
okay.
or very scientifically monitored training for the particular sport and particular skill.
Okay.
But once it is converted, it cannot be reversed back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It is not like yo-yo.
All right. So for the benefit of those who don't know, what exactly is the difference between fast twitch and muscle and slow twitch muscle fibers?
Well, fast twitch muscle fibers, those are called basically the glycolytic muscle fiber. Fast twitch muscle fibers are much they are used basically. Those muscle fibers are anaerobic in nature.
Okay.
You know, high-end explosive muscle fibers, which they are mostly used in power sport, explosive
okay.
power sports,
okay.
like sprinting or
mm-hmm.
powerlifting.
Mm-hmm.
Explosive movements are right. generated by fast twitch muscle fibers.
Okay.
The slow twitch muscle fibers basically, they are more likely to be successful in endurance athletes.
Okay.
Cyclists and sports, there is a great mm-hmm. amount of endurance.
Distance runners.
You know, long distance runners.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
those are that slow twitch muscle fibers.
Okay.
So, this combination muscle fiber, either this way or that way, can be trained
mm-hmm.
through highly monitored,
mm-hmm.
programmable training mode.
Mm-hmm.
So, fast twitch, basically cricket, fast bowlers, simple example, in India,
yeah.
what you can give is a fast twitch muscle fibers, fast bowlers. Basically,
mm-hmm.
are fast twitch muscle fibers.
Mm-hmm.
High end running, sprinting, coming and running,
yeah.
explosive jumps,
mm-hmm.
and delivering at full pace.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
with a heavy load and torque and
mm-hmm.
Rotations involved.
Yeah.
So, fast twitch muscle fiber basically used for fast bowling.
Mm-hmm.
And then, slow twitch muscle, cricket is an anaerobic sport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, idea is to work on those fast twitch muscle fibers in tandem
mm-hmm.
with some of the slow twitch muscle fibers,
mm-hmm.
especially for endurance,
mm-hmm.
for fast bowler, endurance is very important also.
Mm-hmm.
That is when you work on the combination.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the thing that you have to run on for 1 hour or 50 laps around the thing.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You need to work on that high intensity mode,
mm-hmm.
high intensity interval training,
mm-hmm.
you know, those
right.
sort of fartlek training, those sort of tempo runs,
uh-huh.
Indian relays. There are so many types of
mm-hmm.
permitted Tabata protocols.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things which bordering on the threshold zone
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, anaerobic and aerobic threshold.
Okay.
You know, that zone you can work on
uh-huh.
so that it's very apt for particular sport and particular skill.
Okay. So, Ram, can there be a parameter of to measure fitness through body fat or your muscle mass?
Mm.
So, what I mean to ask is there a certain body fat percentage or body fat percentage or muscle mass a true reflection of fitness?
Obviously, because
mm.
Body fat percentage or a BMI, mostly it's taken BMI, they found it's not really, you know, accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So they take mostly it is done through skin fold or hydrostatic pressure or DEXA scan,
mm-hmm.
the body mass index.
Mm-hmm.
Not body mass index, your calibration of your lean muscle mass to
mm-hmm.
your amount of fat, body fat,
mm-hmm.
to the amount of water in your body, to amount of minerals and protein and fat in your body.
Right.
So you have you have to measure your dry lean mass. It's a combination of dry lean mass. Normally it's called DLM.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a combination of weight attributed mm-hmm. to the protein
mm-hmm.
and the bone mineral density.
Okay.
Basically in
mm-hmm.
your body. It's
mm-hmm.
called a dry lean mass.
Okay.
Lean body mass is combination of your dry lean mass and the amount of water in your body.
Okay.
And there is another thing called skeletal mass. Skeletal
mm-hmm.
skeletal muscle mass.
Okay.
It is a thing, the muscles are connected to your bone and what are the mass of the muscle.
Okay.
You know, that is what we need to worry about, as you told earlier,
mm-hmm.
loss of muscle mass.
Mm-hmm.
Skeletal muscle mass can be lost because
okay.
of overemphasis on one type of training.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So idea is to these, you have to take all these parameters, but mm-hmm. certain 45% is a must for elite athletes.
Yeah.
You need to be beyond because you are carrying that extra weight.
Uh-huh.
For example, your body fat percentage has to be around 10. For mm-hmm. race car drivers, it has to be around 10, and the weight has to be around 58 to 61 kgs maximum.
Okay.
So their body fat percentage should not cross 10. They can have more muscle mass mm-hmm. than the fat
right.
mass.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very critical for performance.
Mm-hmm.
More muscle, more generation of power, more generation of force,
mm-hmm.
more ability to do work.
Right. Ram, there is this, generally speaking, there is this craze about developing six-pack abs these days. And people go for lean body. Everybody keeps throwing these terms without really understanding it. So I just want to know, can there be a healthy way to get those six-pack abs and maintain a decent fat percentage? Because what I've heard is if your body fat percentage is less than 10%, it is not very healthy to maintain it 365 days of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that information is right or wrong. I mean, you are the better person to answer that. But what I mean to ask is there a healthy way to maintain six-pack abs?
Obviously, because I have measured body fat percentage of 6 and 7 in some of the cricket years.
Okay.
You know, fit. Mm-hmm. That is all, again, genetically loaded. There are three types of person, endomorph, ectomorph, and mesomorph.
Right.
Basically,
right.
the morphology,
yeah.
basically, of individual.
Mm-hmm.
So, endomorph, basically, they have a tendency to well-rotten, round, you know, more fat, and
mm-hmm.
They have a capacity to put on weight easily. Mesomorph
mm-hmm.
are normally muscular, generally, and ectomorphs are normally thin, reedy people.
Mm-hmm.
Again, genetically, you see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we have to see which type of body type is training for what.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have to segregate from there again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there are many ways to skin a cat. It is mm-hmm. not using your fat cutters or fat burners or anabolic steroid, you can get the 6-pack, 8-pack in 3 months' time. It
mm-hmm.
is not at all healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Your kidney will pack up, liver will pack up, heart will have many conditions, diabetes
mm-hmm.
can crop up. It is potentially an appetite for destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Just for short-term glory, you'll have a long-term suffering.
Mm-hmm.
There are many ways to maintain that because you can see, for example, a sports person is training for 6 to 8 hours a day actively,
right.
not only fitness,
mm-hmm.
actively.
Mm-hmm.
For him or her to get the six pack,
mm-hmm.
you know how difficult it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So for these sort of celebrities showing in their six pack and 8-pack and 21 inch biceps in 2 months' time transformation,
mm-hmm.
it is not the right picture for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because their body is their asset.
Okay.
We should not, because here the skill and my temperament is asset
mm-hmm.
for a sportsman.
Right.
Body comes secondary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, how they look.
Mm-hmm.
There are people, for example, you take NFL and the quarterbacks and other things, the defenders.
Yes.
You see those guys are really massive.
Sure.
Their body
right.
fat percentage will be around 27, 28. But
oh.
still the way they run and way they move,
mm-hmm.
it's unbelievable. Where do you put those guys in?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't think in India, we still have this hurt mindset.
Mm-hmm.
If one thing is success with somebody, everybody
mm-hmm.
follows that. Irrespective of what suits them or doesn't suit them,
mm-hmm.
they never ask questions. Blindly
mm-hmm.
follow things, which is very sad. In fact.
Mm-hmm. So, Ram, you just said that, you know, for athletes who train 6 hours, 8 hours a day, for them to get a six pack is tough in any case. So
yes.
does that mean that for regular people like you and me, if we want to have those you know ripped abs and all, how tough is that for us?
It is tough.
Mm-hmm.
It is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing is you need to do a lot of sacrifice.
Yeah.
But it is not impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, it is tough.
Mm-hmm.
It is not easy, but
mm-hmm.
it is not impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Again, dependent on your body structure, dependent
mm-hmm.
on your genetic loading,
yeah.
dependent on your food habits,
mm-hmm.
dependent on any, if you have any sort of medical condition,
mm-hmm.
all the things you have to take into consideration, no?
Right, right.
So you cannot just go one day and do your sculpting and come back next day, all this laser therapy, body sculpting, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a spot reduction and come back. You cannot, that is not the way to do it.
Yeah, right.
So, normal people can definitely develop six pack or whatever, one eight pack or ten pack or a can.
Yeah.
But a lot of sacrifices need to be done.
Yeah.
And you have to be the correct diet intake is very critical without any unwanted supplements, steroids and other anabolic steroids, etc.
Right.
Regular food with nutritional guidance, with a specialist nutritionist guidance, then I'm sure it is not impossible. It is not at all impossible.
Right.
And you have to do you have to choose the right type of exercise.
Right.
Choice of exercise and right type of exercise, you need to choose. What suits you? What suits you? Somebody is going to copy you, get your six pack or eight pack in 6 months, 8 months time, doing a perfect regime. Immediately, what the normal tendency in India is to copy the workout. Hey, it's suiting you, how did you reduce? Give me your diet schedule, no? Give me your workout, no?
Yeah.
That is normal, no?
Right.
That is a norm, which is totally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose you are lifting a deadlift.
Yeah.
You are lifting 100 kilos because of over a period of time you are trained that.
Yeah.
You started, maybe you started up with 10 kilos.
Yeah.
Now you have progressed over a period of 8 months to 100 kilos, example.
Yeah.
Somebody is seeing you in the middle or end product will start off from 60 or 80 without doing any assessment and break their back.
Yeah.
So you need to undergo, a person who is embarking on this sort of thing has to undergo medical examination, physiotherapy assessment, fitness testing, then embark on nutritional guidance, and then embark on taking or talking about six pack, eight pack, etc.
Right. So, Ram, you talked about this herd mentality that you have witnessed among fitness enthusiasts in India.
Yes.
So, is that one of the reasons why people these days put a lot of emphasis on heavy weights, heavy lifting?
I don't think it's possible. Why? I don't know. Because of one or two person. Only one, a group of guys do it, group of particular sporting guys do it, not everybody.
Yeah.
If you get my point. For example, if I'm a tennis player, if Novak, Djokovic or Nadal or Roger Federer is going vegan or gluten free, all the tennis players will start doing that. So it may percolate to some sport. But not every other sport will do that. In India especially, easy way out, easy way out. There are exceptions when it is not a right thing to do. Heavy loading is for what end and purpose? Are you a bodybuilder? Are you into recreational fitness? Are you a weekend warrior? Or are you a professional sports person? Or an amateur sports person? Or you a person just starting your getting into sport? So you have to analyze these things and do it. Straight away, you're trying to lift your, do all sort of nonsense that can be potentially dangerous.
Right.
It can be, you know, it is.
Sure. Yeah.
So one has to, everything, we are all like thumb impression. Then we don't need anything, no?
Yeah.
One person can do the biometric and go and you don't need passport also. Everybody can walk in and walk out however they want. Then why do you have all these things then?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, this is like a bio passport.
Okay. All right, Ram, I'm sure many people want to know about this. What is the difference between a yo-yo test and a beep test? How are the two different from each other?
Yo-yo and beep are basically, you know, they both are the tools used for measuring your aerobic fitness.
Okay.
Basically, yo-yo beep has been there. So we used to do your beep till 2009-10.
Okay.
We used to do beep, and even until 2011. Then 2010 we introduced the yo-yo and Face Foundation, MRF Face Foundation that time.
Yeah.
And then yo-yo came into picture in 2011 itself.
Okay.
So, yo-yo and beep are just a measurement of your aerobic capacity, one athlete's aerobic capacity. But beep is one thing which you keep running without any break, the various levels.
Okay.
And yo-yo, you run for 20 meters and take a break 20 meters, then you have a 5-meter cone, walk around the cone for 5 seconds or 10 seconds and come back.
Okay.
That is yo-yo.
Mm-hmm.
But both are measurement of your aerobic fitness. There are six types of yo-yos.
Okay.
You have six type of six versions of yo-yo.
Okay.
You know. Mm-hmm. So you have yo-yo endurance test level 1, you have endurance test level 2, you have yo-yo intermediate endurance level 1, intermediate mm-hmm. endurance level 2, mm-hmm. you have yo-yo intermediate recovery level 1 and recovery level 2.
Okay.
So these, you have six options.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you choose and mm-hmm. what have you done or mm-hmm. what sport? It varies.
Okay.
How fit are the athlete? Mm-hmm. Whether you are going to do the recovery test 1, or recovery test 2
mm.
or endurance test 1 or 2
mm.
or endurance basic endurance test intermediate endurance test 1 or 2 it varies
mm-hmm.
what you use but you have to stick on to that but both are a measurement of aerobic fitness
mm-hmm.
for an individual or a team which
okay.
is devised for soccer mainly
okay
and there are many alternatives to yo-yo testing people have started to do you know
mm-hmm.
depending on the sport
yeah
So,
in your view,
yeah,
which
are,
is the more, in your view, which is the more accurate, you know, test? Is it yo-yo or the? Okay.
Both are equally good.
Mm-hmm.
Both are equally good. You can derive, you can, because yo-yo is in vogue now.
Mm-hmm.
So, people use yo-yo for easier also.
Okay.
And they get enough recovery because for cricket and I think it or a soccer, you are not going to continuously run
mm-hmm.
till level 12, 13 and all. It beep is, it is a killer, literal killer. Trust mm-hmm. me on this. Level 12 or 13, if I'm not mistaken, level 12, 13, what, how much it will be in beep?
Mm-hmm.
If yo-yo is level 15, what you have it at 16 point what? And Indian team 16.5,
mm-hmm.
which is very basic.
Okay.
Very basic. It will be around, VO2 max should be around 47, 48.
Mm-hmm.
VO2 max.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be around level 9 point something or 10 in beep.
Okay.
See the difference.
Yeah.
So, beep is tougher, definitely
mm-hmm.
tougher.
Mm-hmm.
Yo is easier also
mm-hmm.
and more pertinent and more contemporary.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Okay, Rav, a lot of athletes and coaches give emphasis on core strength. You know, it is very important and across
sports. Absolutely.
So, would you like to talk about it, how important it is and why it is?
So, yeah, core strength is one of the most critical thing for any sport cutting across multi-sport.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
whether you play chess or whether you play billiards or top
mm-hmm.
and high-end contact sport,
mm-hmm.
core strength and stability,
mm-hmm.
very important. How
mm-hmm.
do you develop that and how do you work on that is,
mm-hmm.
It's a huge topic.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the most critical thing is to work on the anterior
mm-hmm.
and the posterior thing
okay.
of your movement.
Mm-hmm.
So, working on your core strength and stability, especially we talk about the midsection area,
right.
which is the powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, most of the power is generated through the core strength and stability.
Right.
So, that working that is absolutely mm-hmm. essential for
mm-hmm.
any sport.
Mm-hmm.
But the choice of exercise, the tempo, the sets, the reps, the intensity,
mm-hmm.
the recovery, everything will vary according to sports and skill.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you have a wrestling or anything where you have a lot of isometric holds. You need to work on something like an isometric hold,
mm-hmm.
Like a plank or Copenhagen
right.
side plank, etc.,
yeah.
etc.
Yeah.
For more explosive, you do your plyometric core strength and stability,
mm-hmm.
core strength work,
mm-hmm.
or a ground or a Swiss ball.
Mm-hmm.
You want more stability or more challenge, you do your Swiss ball work,
mm-hmm.
more dynamic, more three-dimensional
right.
work, more angles, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So that's different strokes for different folks again.
Mm-hmm.
So, very critical, very important is to work on core stability and cutting across multi-sport.
Mm-hmm. So, is a lean midsection a reflection of your core strength?
I wouldn't say that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Again, you take the rugby player.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They need cushioning also. You know,
mm-hmm.
depending on sport.
Yeah. Because see, I am asking this because in cricket, if you look at somebody like Inzamam ul Haq, he used
mm-hmm.
to play long innings and
yeah.
used to really bat and bat, and he used to field in the slips where you need stability to, you know, sort of
exactly.
stand there. And then he didn't exactly have a very lean physique.
Absolutely.
But obviously he had core strength. So I just wanted
Veera,
to...
I mean, Veeru.
Right.
Veeru again. Mm. He was very strong inside.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it is very, again, it's skill specific, Shantanu. Mm-hmm. Again, it's sport specific. Cricket is a game of skill.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be very clear.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Fitness has come in only recently.
Mm-hmm.
I sent you the thing of Wasim Akram and Shane Watson speaking.
Yeah.
This culture and the sports and gymming and other things came to cricket from Australia.
Okay. Yeah.
Because when I started training MRF Pace Foundation in 96,
mm-hmm.
you know, 96, 97, I joined Pace Foundation because mm-hmm. already 8 years were over
mm-hmm.
in Pace Foundation.
Yeah.
When we started introducing weights training,
mm-hmm.
people said, Ramji is going to make all the bowlers into a bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm.
That's the criticism mm-hmm. I faced then.
Yeah.
Cricket, you don't need this, you don't need that, you don't need this. It's a mind game. Fine, mm-hmm. boss, everything is mind game.
Mm-hmm.
Every sport, it's not exclusive to cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Every sport is mind game, you know,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to that level.
Mm-hmm.
So, you don't have exclusivity over one sport.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, one need to understand that you have mm-hmm. to, again, morphology, individuals.
Yeah. Right.
That different types of body type,
mm-hmm.
how they are able to generate power from
mm-hmm.
that.
Right.
You see some of the ball, like George Foreman, for mm-hmm. example.
Right.
No, you cannot mm-hmm. get brutal than that.
Yeah.
You see some of the MMA guys, you see some of the NFL guys,
yeah.
you see some of the NBA guys,
mm-hmm.
rugby,
mm-hmm.
rules football,
mm-hmm.
some of them are
mm-hmm.
massive guys with, they have a poison. You see powerlifting guys,
mm-hmm.
you see world strongest men.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What do you have to say for that?
I think that is a big myth buster that, you know, a lean midsection is a reflection of your core strength.
Not at all.
Yeah.
It's a good aesthetic look.
Mm-hmm.
I know people, those who are aiming, you know, generate enormous amount of power with fat on their midsection.
Mm-hmm.
More power than the lean and mean looking guys.
Yeah.
You see fast bowlers,
mm-hmm.
you know, they'll have a cushioning on the side. You see Brett Lee or any top fast bowler.
Mm-hmm.
That cushioning is required. For
okay.
me, depending again on the skill set.
Okay.
So, once a rule doesn't fit all,
mm-hmm. right.
at all, a lot of myths have been floating around in our country because fitness is new to our country.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
right.
be very clear about it. Fitness, all these things came up in the last 15
mm-hmm.
years, 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Right.
And everybody wants to make exploit this according to their own needs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So now everything has become branding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can work both ways.
Yeah.
It can educate people at the same time. It can guide people wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, Ram. I'd like to talk about some so-called static sport. See, there are sports like motor sports, rallying, etc.
Oh, yeah.
Where you are not physically moving, you are moving in a vehicle or some sort of an equipment.
Mm.
How in those scenarios, people do not understand that it also requires good amount of physical fitness, so
absolutely.
And great amount of core strength. Would you like to talk about these sports in general? What kind of physical fitness requirements are needed in these?
Oh sports? Yeah, you bet. Shantanu, in a motorsport, I've been involved in motorsport for the last 15-17 years from Naren Karthik and onwards,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
It is one of, they are one of the fittest sports people around.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You, they
right.
think just sit down in the car and drive,
yeah.
and come around the track and happily sit down and have your, drive around your Ferraris and Lamborghinis and sit down. No chance.
Mm-hmm.
You are a dead duck if you miss even one corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can
right.
be potentially dangerous.
Yeah.
So, what it involves for a race driver is enormous amount of neck strength and stability
mm-hmm.
because of the G-force,
mm-hmm.
either through acceleration or through braking
mm-hmm.
or through when you are cutting corners.
Yeah.
You can hit 4 to 5 Gs, lateral Gs or frontal or posterior Gs.
Mm-hmm.
You can black out or neck can break.
Okay. Yeah.
So, that is one.
Mm-hmm.
Your neck, when you're with your helmet and everything, your head can weigh around 8-10 kilos.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which is massive.
Too much pressure on your neck.
Imagine 4 Gs.
Yeah.
4 into 1.5 kilos. 6 kg.
6 kgs. Yeah.
Minimum.
Yeah.
With the momentum involved, that too. Mm-hmm. It is not static.
Right.
So that is one thing. Second thing, your heart rate. Your target heart rate is always around 85% to 90% throughout the race.
Right.
Especially it starts out when you are sitting in the, I mean, when you are starting the grid.
Right.
Because heart rate is so high, your aerobic fitness has to be supreme.
Mm-hmm.
Second. Third one, you cannot have a certain, you have to have only certain amount of body fat.
Right.
That's what I told you, 10%.
Yeah, right.
Minimum, maximum should be around 10%.
Mm-hmm.
You will rarely find any obese race car driver,
right.
Or slightly obese. No chance. Second thing, you have weight has to be very stable. Otherwise, the entire car's setup goes for a stick.
Right.
Fifth one, you are braking power. Every time you hit a brake, it's 100 kilos of braking.
Okay.
Every braking is 100 kilos. Imagine the load on your back, load on your hip muscles. How many? For example, you have 60 laps. Okay, you have average of 5 corners.
Yeah.
300 times you need to brake.
Right.
300 into 100. Imagine how many tons of braking you will be doing.
What do we mean by braking? I mean, when
your braking force has to be really hard. You have to kick the brake really hard. The force is around 100 kilos of braking force. For example, you are doing a leg press.
Yeah.
You have to do with that full force with 100 kilos. Imagine.
Okay. All right. That's quite
imagine
tough.
Doing 300 to 400 repetitions in 1 hour.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Seriously unbelievable. Your back and your neck and shoulders, your pectoral shoulders will go for your forearms.
Yeah.
You need good level of grip strength.
Yeah.
You need more than all these things. You need phenomenal amount of reflex.
Right.
One of the topmost reflex in the world.
Mm-hmm.
As far as reflex hand-eye coordination is concerned.
Right.
And peripheral awareness.
Right.
Peripheral awareness has to be topmost.
Mm-hmm.
You know when? During the wet conditions also, because your visibility becomes nearly nil.
Okay.
You have to have that feel. You have to have terrific level of intelligence, IQ, and you have to talk to the pit crew. You have to talk to, you know, at the same time, you devise a strategy while driving.
Right.
All those things are there. You are multifunctional, it is.
Right.
All faculties of your brain and body should work in tandem for racing.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you can die.
Yeah, it's such a tough sport. Yeah.
It is a tough sport. People don't understand it in India.
Yeah.
They sit down and they think, oh, other, even the professional guys, what is there? Yeah, sit down and drive.
Wow.
You sit down and drive for 1 hour, even around 80 kilometers per hour. 80.
Yeah.
1 hour you drive 80 kilometers per hour, yeah, without hitting anybody. Please ask anybody to do it. Non-race drivers.
Yeah.
Other sport guys, let them do 80, average 80 kilometers in a good track with 2-3 drivers along following him or in front of him. Let's see how he overtakes, how he talk about. You'll get shagged out within 15 minutes, especially backing the corner, and you'll come out and puke. So it is also a thing of reflex, no?
Yeah.
Quick silver thinking.
Right.
Decision.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of things are involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And you should know when to overtake, when to block, when to go on the slipstream.
Yeah.
All the tactics has to be incorporated.
Right. Isn't so the body is working like a machine there, inside a machine?
Totally. It's a complete sync between man and machine, Formula One.
Right.
For motor racing.
Yeah.
Complete sync. Even the bikers,
Right.
they are crazy. Those guys are really crazy, the MotoGP guys,
right.
Bikers. You should have a different mindset. You have to be a psycho to do that. No. You're serious. I have seen from my own eyes. It's very scary, Santanu.
Yeah.
Very scary. Very, very scary. It's not for faint heart. So you're talking about extreme sports like that.
Yeah.
See the level of fitness what you require. Huh?
Right.
So people think... Even some of the professional guys, cricketers think that, what is big deal here?
Yeah.
Let them sit down and drive for go-kart, even go-kart, let them drive at go-kart around 60 kilometers per hour for half an hour.
mm-hmm.
see how they come out. You have to pull them out of the car. And these guys are traveling at average of 200 kilometers per hour.
Yeah.
And go up to 300 kilometers per hour. Imagine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Imagine a cricketer, a batsman is facing at 160 kilometers per hour. Okay.
Yeah.
You have a 0.2, 0.3, 0.1, 0.2 seconds to react.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can avoid.
Yeah.
You can avoid that ball or you can get hit or, okay, you can get out and come out.
Yeah.
Here, you are the projectile who is going at 300 kilometers per hour. You cannot hit.
Yeah.
You have to avoid.
Yeah.
And you have to win. See the faculties involved.
Yeah. It's
seriously exciting, Shantanu.
Yeah.
Seriously exciting. Every time I see a race, I mean, go for a race, and it's so exciting.
Yeah.
So much, to learn every mm-hmm. race.
Right.
Any sport is like that, but mm-hmm. racing is something people don't understand.
Mm. And you also spoke about the value of core strength in sport like chess and billiards. So would you like to talk about that? Why is it needed in such sports?
Of course. Yeah, because most of the, any movement mm-hmm. in our daily life,
yeah.
any movement is flexion.
Mm-hmm.
Flexion from the torso, isn't it?
Yeah,
whether
yeah.
we are eating, whether mm-hmm. we are reading, whether we are looking at laptop or a mm-hmm. computer, mm-hmm. whether we are driving, everything is protracted flexion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So what happens is overuse syndrome over a period of time, your back gives way.
Mm-hmm.
Because of lack of strength on your the lower back muscle, lack of strength on your core, lack mm-hmm. of other muscle groups like glutes,
mm-hmm.
which are some of the anti-gravity muscles.
Mm-hmm.
To stabilize your pelvic area and to stabilize the core.
Right.
So, the more flexion over a period of time can be an overload syndrome.
Okay.
Can cause injury. So that, even you see billiards and chess, mm-hmm. yeah, it's flexion movement, lean mm-hmm. forward and flexion.
Right.
So, they also, Vishwanathan does a lot of core, he does a lot of aerobic fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Aerobic fitness, for they don't need strength and power and other things.
Yeah.
Aerobic fitness also helps you bring in more oxygen into your system and control your breathing pattern.
Right.
Lot of benefits are there. That's what different strokes for different folks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you need to take the best out of many sports
mm-hmm.
and cross train into other.
Right.
Like a web. You have to spin a nice web.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what is your take on these dietary fats? Are you a fan of these gluten-free diets that are going around?
I cannot recommend any supplements or gluten-free or vegan or any of those things, because
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because that's why one need to be an expert in nutrition. If there are experts in strength and conditioning, experts in nutrition, he or she can give.
Yeah.
But we are limited. I am not an expert, but I don't approve of that unless or until it's mm-hmm. approved by a sports nutritionist.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You have to see WADA compliant. See, you don't know what is inside.
Mm-hmm.
In India especially,
mm-hmm.
They get the whole thing and put a new label as
tell. Yeah.
You don't know what is inside.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the packing. Something somewhere. Mm-hmm. You may be a wrong guy who got caught in one of the freaky incidents.
Yeah.
Something went wrong with one of the boss. You may be one of the victims.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be very, very, very mindful whom you buy, what sort of this dietary supplement you take in tandem with WADA compliant
mm-hmm.
and all parameters checked.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And with the nutritional guidance. Otherwise, mm-hmm. don't even go for it. Eat naturally and you can get better.
Mm-hmm.
People say when you're traveling, athlete, I don't get, I'm a vegan. I don't get this thing. Okay, consult a nutritionist,
mm-hmm.
sports nutritionist.
Right.
There are traveling athletes have a different type of. We used to do that in racing
mm-hmm.
because every 15 days you are in different country.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go. You have to plan. You have your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Which country you are going? When? What is the weather conditions? What mm-hmm. is the humidity factor? How far mm-hmm. is the track from the hotel? What mm-hmm. do you need to eat? What do you need to? What is the racing thing?
Mm-hmm.
Timing. When is your practice session? All hydration protocols mm-hmm. and your dietary protocols are well ahead of play.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are going to Germany or Portugal or Spain or France or this side, you are going to China or Australia, anywhere, or this side America or South America,
mm-hmm.
anywhere, you know where what sort of food is available. You cannot go there and expect dal chawal.
Right.
So, what are the alternatives?
Mm-hmm.
One need to prepare well ahead of, I think there is no room for error in that
mm-hmm.
and no excuses also.
Right.
Because I went there, I didn't get food. You mm-hmm. had a timely schedule. All these things have to be prepared. well, like a professional athlete prepare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why we leave it in the last moment. At Altaya, we'll have Maggie noodles.
Yeah.
You know, save mm-hmm. money on food.
Yeah.
Lot of things. You need mm-hmm. to, what you put in your gut is most important for your performance.
Right.
People don't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Very, okay. very, very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to consult a nutritionist, sports nutritionist to devise a program for you before embarking on any sort of fat supplements and other things.
Mm-hmm.
From whey protein to things, because some are allergic, lactose intolerance may
right.
be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those sort of things will be done only after doing the blood test.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do a blood test before taking the diet schedules. So
okay.
the, what are the trace elements missing?
Mm-hmm.
For a woman, it may be iron or a calcium.
Mm-hmm.
For a guy, it may be magnesium or zinc
mm-hmm.
or potassium. You will
mm-hmm.
never know.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at a person, you will never know.
Mm-hmm.
He or she, what they are lacking, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
they need to do all these testing protocols well ahead and before devising, before getting
mm-hmm.
into mainstream dietary or fitness regimes.
Right. So, Ram, a lot of non-athletes, the people like you and me, when
mm.
we go to gym.
I was an athlete.
okay, sorry. So people like me who have never been
okay,
athletes, people like me who have never been athletes but want an athletic body, we go to gym and then we, after few 6-8 months of regular exercise, we start consuming whey proteins. So, and not everybody has the education or the resources to go for a blood test and stuff like that.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
is it advisable really to?
It is the duty of the management of the fitness center and the trainer to tell you to do that. It's their
mm-hmm.
duty.
Okay.
You cannot claim ignorant on that.
Mm-hmm.
Ignorance on that. Those are
right.
the common things that have to be done.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you go to a hospital, you have to, you cannot come into a house with the dirty shoes. Isn't
right.
it?
Right.
That is a norm. That
mm-hmm.
is, you cannot, then you cannot say, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, these are certain norms. You have to find, fill up all these part view forms,
mm-hmm.
indemnity forms, the assessment forms, everything has to be done before they begin the exercise or diet regimes.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be done. In India, nothing is done.
So the level of misinformation and lack of information is appalling, because here we go to any gym and everybody is just consuming whey protein like anything without any.
Because you
guidance.
Get a cutout of it. As a trainer, you get, for example, whey protein is selling for 6,000 to 10,000 rupees a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kilo.
Yeah.
A trainer may get 2,000 to 3,000 rupees per bottle.
Right.
It's a big scam going on, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
It's very sad because
mm-hmm.
people cannot be exploited for their ignorance
yeah.
because they come and. A person comes to the fitness center or a sports center trusting you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a total betrayal of trust.
Right.
It's a total betrayal of trust. If you don't know, say you don't know. Don't
mm-hmm.
give jam.
Because
mm-hmm. most of them, what happens is when they don't know something,
mm-hmm.
they give technical jargon.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
full fundo technical jargon to cover their ignorance. So
yeah.
that you are put off. You think that
right.
they know everything.
Right.
When you dig the scratch the surface, then
mm-hmm.
you know you have an appalling thing to find that he or she is in a very, very basic rudimentary level.
Right.
You have to, your job is to educate
mm-hmm.
the members. Your
mm-hmm.
job duty is to give the correct information to the members who is trusting and coming and joining
mm-hmm.
the fitness centers.
Right.
Give them information, constantly give them freedom information.
Mm-hmm.
And members also should know to keep asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
No question is trivial.
Right.
Isn't it?
Right.
You cannot expect everybody to know quadratic equation or mathematical physics or quantum mechanics.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Right.
You cannot take that for granted.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, if they ask you a question, it's your duty to explain to them.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know, guide them to the right person.
Right.
Don't Google it and come and see.
I tell you what, Rab, a lot of fitness trainers on online or digital YouTube platforms, what they advise is, if you want to build muscle, you obviously need more protein. And for that, they advise 1.5
grams per
yeah.
kg of body weight.
But does that cut across all kind of
physiology? No chance.
Mm.
It is possible.
Right.
What about water-soluble protein and fat-soluble protein?
Mm-hmm.
Which you recommend, whatever essential and non-essential amino acids,
mm-hmm.
what do you do, what
mm-hmm.
is the ratio you need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
how much you cut that, okay, 150 grams, okay, what is the intensity of the workout? Mm-hmm. Just by taking whey protein, and these guys think they can become Adonis.
Yeah.
And wrong information.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever it is, whether it's a white skin, whether it's a Gora or somebody,
mm-hmm.
you need to analyze, sit and analyze your, with your personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a borrowed knowledge.
Right.
See, whatever these guys say, it is not true. They are selling their product. They are selling their YouTube thing.
Yeah.
They are selling their whey protein.
Mm-hmm.
End of the day, everything is same shit. Trust me, all the things are same shit.
Yeah.
It is highly run by, this is done by pharmaceutical mafia.
Mm-hmm.
This is done by, a lot of pharmaceutical companies do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
Push it to the third world countries, push it to countries like where the fitness and things are developing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a multi-billion dollar business, no?
Right.
It angers me really when people do these things, Shantanu.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at YouTube, 150 grams, was, before it was 0.8 grams per kg of body weight.
Yeah.
Suddenly, how did it become 1.5?
Double. Okay.
Double.
Yeah.
What happens to the protein which is not being used?
Mm.
For example, somebody falls sick or injures his back, his or her, knee or back or shoulder, what happens then in middle of a workout?
Yeah.
Will they consume the protein? What type, how much protein? Because the muscle is going to waste.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do then? You have to have sensible solutions for things.
Right.
If it happens, we'll see, then we'll devise a program. There are many ways to come out of an argument of things. You know,
mm-hmm.
find a loophole and come out.
Yeah.
But the basic thing is, each and every member need to be educated by the fitness centers and the trainers and the nutritionists and the management.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a duty.
Right.
They cannot shrug their
mm-hmm.
responsibility like a school. You
mm-hmm.
know?
Right.
You cannot say, you cannot, I don't know, the school never said all these things. No,
mm-hmm.
it cannot be.
Mm-hmm.
There are protocols, there are processes in place.
Right. So, coming back.
Otherwise, we'll be just talking like, you know, even in sports.
Yeah.
We'll be just, you know, talking about small, we'll win small battles, big wars, we'll get hammered.
Yeah.
That is our problem in India.
Mm-hmm.
That is a serious problem. Small battles, we win and talk, we are world beaters.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to actually Olympics or World Championship or World Cup or other things, we get hammered. And we'll say it's a bad luck, weather is not good, it's not proper planning. All the excuses will come and we'll have an inquiry commission. Which will be done till next Olympics.
Yeah.
By the time they'll forget who has done what.
Mm,
this has been a system for last so many years in India. With 1 billion people, we cannot. It's very sad.
Yeah.
Very sad. We keep talking theory till the cows come home. Yeah. That's why we're very good in software. For everything there is analogy.
Yeah. All right, Ram. Coming back to this fitness topic.
Yeah.
I'd like to know, what is the difference between mass fitness and regular fitness? There a lot of times we came across reports that
athlete
has declared himself or herself fit, but they're not match fit.
Oh, yes. It's a very, very important aspect of an athlete getting into the system.
Yeah.
That is, for example, fitness for fitness sake, that we are
mm-hmm.
talking about 6-pack, 8-pack and 10-pack. I mean, that is all, you know, it can be fitness.
Yeah.
But converting the transfer
mm-hmm.
from what you did outside the playing situation and how it transfers onto the match
mm-hmm.
is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to sustain that workload, sustain that intensity,
okay.
all those things are very, very important. How we are able to recover and come back and be ready for the next match or next session, etc. It all comes under match fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Especially coming back after injury, return to play.
Yeah.
Again, match fitness plays a very, you may be clinically, you may be sound,
mm-hmm.
top class.
Yeah.
But when you enter the match, you are not fit.
Okay.
Idea is to plan. How do you plan that? Not only return to play after injury, it's a planning by the team.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down and do analysis, do a meta-analysis on a player. Fitness
mm-hmm.
levels. What is his fitness level?
So what are these parameters to judge match fitness? Is it your muscle memory? Is it the way you play?
It is your muscle memory.
Yeah.
Second, how much you are able to bowl in the net. How much you are able to bat in the net. How much you are able to, what level of intensity you are able to field.
Mm-hmm.
Just for cricket I am talking about.
Okay. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Ability to field, or you are preserving yourself for
mm-hmm.
the main thing, or trying to preserve yourself from pushing 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Because the 100% you give on practice, that is going to reflect on the match, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
So maybe one day before the thing, you just want to recover, just bowl, you know, bowl within yourself or bat within yourself, just to get the touch and feel, then get into the zone of mental fitness. So before that, when you are getting into practice sessions and net sessions and fielding sessions, you have to give 100%. That is a true test of match fitness.
Right.
Because coaches will know exactly.
Right. Okay.
Whether any game for the matter, your shuttle or tennis or soccer, they'll know. Physios and the trainers and the coaches would know whether he or she is preserving themselves from giving 100%.
Right. Okay. Okay, Ram, how important is sleep and recovery for an athlete?
Totally important.
Is it as important as fitness?
Sleep, recovery is as important as fitness. Because your body needs time for completely getting back to normal. No, it can be from 24 to 36 hours.
Right.
After an intense session, your travel, your match, your nervous energy dissipation, all those things matter. Your sleep pattern has to be spot on and highly disciplined. It's one of the best forms of recovery with your deep sleep, your alpha state or beta REM sleep, what they call, you know, deep alpha state sleep or theta, beta state sleep in the initial stages. Getting into a deep sleep mode, it's very, very important. Very important.
Right.
I would say one of the most important aspects of it also to take away all your mental, you know, tensions, etc., etc., you know, to move away from that and see yourself and calm your body, repairs itself well. Helps your body to repair yourself and your mind to, and your, and helps your brain to refuel itself.
Right.
Very, very, very important. One of the highly, you know, neglected. Highly neglected. They think, people say, you know, you should not sleep in the afternoon. Some of them love the power nap. 30 minutes. 30 to 40 minutes, some of them have. They sleep till they are into alpha state and get up and fresh, char and go for it.
Yeah.
The power nap is also very, very important to take the tension off and other things, you know.
Right. So I'll give a couple of examples, Ram. See, for example, when we play badminton, or when there's a World Tour badminton going on, it goes on for 7 days where these shuttlers play for 5 consecutive days. And likewise in IPL, sometimes you play, one team plays 3 matches in a span of 6 days. In these cases, if you are a player who plays all these 3 matches or for all those 5 days, how do you balance your training and fitness and your recovery?
Mainly IPL and thing is nothing about training. It's about mainly concentrating on focusing on recovery and diet. Recovery also incorporates diet. You know, it's also a part of recovery protocols. So mostly IPL and other things is mostly about recovery. How do you manage your recovery? Than fitness. Fitness, if somebody is telling you they improved their fitness during IPL thing, 99.99% they are lying.
But you still train. So your skill training still goes on. You do that.
The skill training will go on. Again, for example, you played a match today and you have a match day after tomorrow.
Yeah.
Again, one day break, again match day after tomorrow, 3 days.
Yeah.
Or you are traveling. Travel day is not a recovery day.
Yeah.
So you can, you need to work on different types of recovery. It's active recovery or passive recovery or a combination of active and passive recovery. So you need to work on, again, it has to be highly individual, individualized.
Yeah. Okay.
Because some may like to go for a swim. Some may like to go for a light aerobic session to bring in more oxygen into the system. Some may like to do a cycling for 15, 20 minutes to loosen up. And some may like to go for a massage. Some may like to go for a meditation. Some may like to go for a swim.
Yeah.
You know,
it
is individual again. Individual aptitude. And as a team, you do it to get a team bonding. You can do a group aqua stretch. And, you know, recovery stretches. Trigger point massages. Deep tissue massage.
Right.
All the things can be done. Or just after that, just chill out, listen to your music or read a book. That is also a mode of passive recovery.
Okay.
So there are many ways to recover. Either it can be active or passive or a combination of both.
Right.
But recovery is very important, which includes diet, what you need to eat.
Right.
You, hydration is very critical.
Right.
That is very, very important hydration protocol.
Mm-hmm.
By testing your urine constantly.
Uh-huh.
So you need to know, even if it's a slight tinge of yellow, your body is starting to dehydrate.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be silver color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your urine has to be silver color. So
right.
keep hydrating well
yeah.
so that there is no mineral loss. Just keep drinking water is not enough.
Yeah. So likewise for badminton players, like I said, who play for 5 consecutive days in a tournament.
Yes.
And then the final is on the 6th day or the 7th day when you are completely spent. So
yes.
by the time you reach the finals, you have exhausted yourself.
Totally,
In that case, how do you, how much should you train and do you train at all? But you obviously
you
have
train
to.
At all. You will, for something like an individual sport where you have to take the entire load.
Yeah.
It is very, very hard. There is nobody to support you except yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to cover you, cover for you, like cricket or soccer, you can escape to a point.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can come in and chill out for 2 hours and go out.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in sport like shuttle or tennis or table tennis, there is absolutely no chance.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, what they do, that's why the recovery comes into play.
Okay.
Full, good amount of active or passive recovery, stretching, lot of stretching. Then calming down, they can do pranayama, bring in yoga into the system.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
If they're going to train hard with there is no mat, I mean, that is foolish.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're going to have matches continuously.
Right.
They cannot build the fitness on one day. Rome was not built in a day.
Right.
So, whatever fitness they have done in during off-season or mid-season or pre-season, during season or maintenance schedule, that has to be maintained.
Mm-hmm.
But they cannot improve, right, to do anything new.
Right.
Because your adaptation will take some time.
Mm-hmm.
So, idea is to get the best of the recovery protocols, including your food and sleep and other processes involved, so that you're fresh every day or every session. That has to be planned very thoroughly.
So, Ram, you kept talking about active and passive recovery. Would you like to explain what exactly is an active recovery and what is a passive recovery?
Active recovery is basically when you do your, for example, you do your swim, aqua work, just aqua stretches for 15-20 minutes. Not, it should not be intensity oriented at all.
Yeah.
It has to be completely relaxed session. There is no target, there is no tempo, there is no rep sets, etc. Totally relaxed and don't take the muscle to the full range. It can be aqua stretches. Or it can be a normal partner stretch, you know, somebody helping you stretch to the, not to the full range, to the comfortable range where he or she is comfortable, so feel nice. And what do you call, you can do your, again, you can do, go for a slow jog or walk. Again, that is active stretch. No intensity, lowest level of intensity so that your body and mind is in sync.
Okay.
That is what, and that is, those are active. Passive recovery will be a steam bath or sauna or a massage, you know. Those are reading a book or going into an oxygen chamber and just chilling out, bringing more oxygen into the system. Those are passive recovery. Any sort of physical, what do you call, inputs. Too much of physical involvement.
So, like,
reading a book or listening to nice headphones and listening to music and just getting on right now, you know, in an open air or in a terrace or wherever, you know, in your room, dark room, or just going into an oxygen chamber that inhale oxygen. Those are passive recovery protocols.
Right. You spoke about the role of genes in your muscle fibers. Is recovery also genetically impacted? Do some people recover earlier than others?
Possibilities are high. No, I don't know much about that. To be very honest, I cannot give you a right answer for that. Possibilities, because that's why I'm telling you, different strokes for different folks.
Okay.
Individual, what, for example, if I'm going to make everybody do yoga for recovery.
Right.
Out of 10, 5 may recover or 8 may recover, 2 may not recover at all. He or she may need something else.
Yeah.
More, something else less, or something different. So it is, again, in the, dependent on an individual athlete. Completely dependent on individual athlete. Again, one size doesn't fit all.
Right.
As a team bonding and other thing, you can do up to a point. Then after finishing that, you have to ask an individual whether he she or he is completely recovered from whatever soreness or whatever completely okay, you know, so that you are ready for the next match, maybe the afternoon or maybe tomorrow morning or evening, whatever it is. It is up to the support staff to make a note of that to identify what is required.
Okay, Ram, you have been part of MRF Pace Academy and you were part of you know, the Indian cricket team in the new millennium also. So I would like to ask specifically about fast bowlers. How have you seen the fitness standards? Have they gone up, gone down? Have they remained static? So your
fitness standards definitely gone up. Definitely evolved over a period of last two decades. 100%. 100%. And guys are even the athletes. See, you see the guys also coming out into the system now in the Indian team. They all have been from the junior last 10 years and took their work towards fitness and come there. Suddenly they didn't come to Indian team supremely fit and, you know, they were not fit, they came there and became supremely fit. No, it is an evolution process over the last two decades. That is bearing the fruit now. You know, there is definitely more awareness has come into fitness. It is phenomenal. Every even under 14, under 12 kids are doing fitness now. Every sport, you take every cutting across any sport. And cricket, we have been training, this is my third generation, actually. of cricket, I have seen the guys evolve from Debashish Mohanty, Jagal Srinath to Zahir Khan. Then came Irfan Pathan another, then came Srisant another, then came Umesh Yadav another. Now they are Umesh Yadav, then just now Bumrah another. I haven't worked with Bumrah, and Shami I have worked with, Umesh Yadav I have worked with. These guys are, they have done the fitness from their state level onwards. So that has evolved into, you know, into a system now. They didn't jump into the Indian team and suddenly became fit.
It has
improved. Definitely it has improved. Fantastic it is. I'm very happy about it.
So that you know, in a way, that puts in focus the fitness of somebody like Kapil Dev. You know, because... he never had access to these trainers, never had access to these concepts.
Because days you cannot compare. I am a person who cannot, I don't like to do comparison between eras, between players. Kapil was a natural athlete. So was MS Dhoni. And the days, number of days they played, all those things, it may be same, but things are different. Lifestyles have changed, Shantaro. You know, those days, we were going in cycle, we were doing a lot of physical work, even the household, there was nothing much, no electronic gadgets, nothing. And you have to go by walk or by cycle, no motorcycles, you know, no cars. So that it is a lot of physical thing is done. I mean, you are doing it on a natural basis. Now things are different. Everybody is driving around a swanky car with a lot of gadgets at home. So you cannot compare either. Kapil Dev was definitely a great athlete. He would have done very well in any sport. I would say four or five of cricket players would have done phenomenally well in any sport. One is Kapil Dev. Second is Sachin Tendulkar. Third is MS Dhoni. 100%. Maybe Ajit Agarkar. Another person. Rahul Dravid.
You spoke about Sachin and you have worked with him very closely in 2006-07. You worked on his shoulder problem and you helped him come out of that. And suddenly when he came out, he struck this good form for good 3-4 years, the second coming of him. So, would you like to talk about...
I was lucky.
Okay, let's leave the batting part aside. I mean, what was that experience of what was the problem first? And
he had a shoulder biceps tear.
Shoulder tear?
Ultimately, shoulder biceps tear. Ultimately, he had to operate because it, it became better after that. So, rest is history. You know, working with Sachin Tendulkar is the highlight of my career. And, you know, I don't know words. I don't have words to put it. So, at that point of time, people ask me how many years he'll play. I didn't talk to any media at that point of time. I refused to talk. And it was not nice, you know, on somebody else's pain, I want to gain glory. So, I refused to talk, but I just told how many years. I said minimum 5 years he'll play. He played. He played till 2013.
12, 13
he played. But it was a very surreal experience with him. Learned a lot. And he will grill you. He will ask questions which you don't expect a player to ask.
Okay.
Some fun to technical questions he'll ask you.
Okay.
You should have answered for that. Otherwise,
mm-hmm.
he won't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
He will fall drastically.
Yeah.
You cannot give him technical answer.
Yeah.
He knows.
Mm-hmm.
He knows exactly what he is asking. He'll tell, mm-hmm. ask you, okay, Ramji, you are giving this exercise. What
mm-hmm.
does it benefit?
Mm-hmm.
Why I cannot do this particular exercise instead of this particular exercise?
Okay.
How is it different? What is the angle different?
Mm-hmm.
What is the tempo difference? All mm-hmm. these things are on phones now. Mm-hmm. I don't know from where he picks it up.
Okay.
Seriously. So I have to be ready with the answer, convincing answer, which
mm-hmm.
proves.
Mm-hmm.
And rest is history. And one of the greatest privileges to be worked with Sachin Tendulkar and Dhoni,
mm-hmm.
you know, and initial stages of Virat when he got into transfer 2012 onwards.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So you obviously worked with Team India very closely, the team that went on to win the World Cup. And there were a lot of 30-plus cricketers who were part of that team, 32, 33-year-old.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Was that challenging to train those bodies?
In a way, it does. You have to think out of the box.
Okay.
What suits Sachin will not suit Sehwag. What
mm-hmm.
suits Sehwag will not suit Gambhir.
Mm-hmm.
What suits Gambhir will not suit Ashish Dahera or Zahir Khan
mm-hmm.
or, you know,
mm-hmm.
Virat Kohli or Suresh Raina or Hemant Kohli.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was taken, treated as a different entity.
Okay.
And everybody was given an individualized schedule
mm-hmm.
way back.
Okay.
This started in 2010 itself.
Okay.
Planning.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was done with paka professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
I still have all those body fat. They have to have minimum of maximum of all of them. They have the maximum of maximum 15% body fat, maximum.
Okay. Okay.
So they all adhere to a paka diet and we control their diet
mm-hmm.
completely.
Yeah.
Whatever little bit I knew, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not an expert, but whatever
mm-hmm.
I learned and
mm-hmm.
we worked on that, every player adhered to fitness and recovery
mm-hmm.
and diet programs
mm-hmm.
and it worked. And
mm-hmm.
we were the only team who never had any injuries.
Right.
If you have noticed.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
You can take the record. You can see the
mm-hmm.
record. None
mm-hmm.
of the players sat down because of fitness issues.
Yeah.
Ashish Dahera fell down and broke his finger. It is not
yeah.
his fault.
Yeah.
He fell down. The finger, that is bound to happen. Nobody sat
mm-hmm.
down because of cramps or
right.
a hamstring tear or a back issue
mm-hmm.
or anything like that if you have seen.
Right.
Playing in that heat,
mm-hmm.
in that tension,
mm-hmm.
expectation was massive,
right.
you know.
Right.
30-plus players, around 7 or 8 of them.
Yeah,
of
yeah,
the
yeah. In fact, the core of the team was all 30-plus.
30-plus.
Sehwag, Dhoni, Sachin.
Sehwag, Dhoni, Zahir Khan, Ashish Nehra, Sachin Tendulkar, Viren, then Gauti.
Mm-hmm.
Around
right.
7 of them.
Yeah. So, do your methods, like you said, it's different for different athletes, but does the human body respond differently after a certain age to fitness?
Obviously, definitely the your response to exercise is sometimes delayed
mm-hmm.
because of the age
mm-hmm.
and the recovery takes a longer period.
Right.
You know, that
mm-hmm.
is definitely there. That is
mm-hmm.
for the age is just a number people will
mm-hmm.
say.
Yeah.
It is all in the mind how you think.
Yeah.
But physiologically, there will be definitely some changes.
Right.
It happens. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
That is for sure. Nobody
mm-hmm.
can deny that.
Right.
And when you are doing bench press of 100 kilos when you are 80, with
mm-hmm.
aplomb you will do. The
mm-hmm.
same thing, you cannot do the same intensity or tempo
mm-hmm.
or the same that energy when you are 35 plus.
Right.
You can. There are freaks.
Mm-hmm.
There are exceptions to the rules.
Right.
But it is not a rule.
Mm-hmm. You also spoke about MS Dhoni being a natural athlete.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, would you like to talk about that? How good is he at this age?
Oh, seriously. He's one of the fittest guys in the Indian team.
Yeah.
I would say MS Dhoni, even Umesh Yadav.
Okay.
Umesh Yadav is also natural.
Mm-hmm.
Supremely fit.
Okay.
Natural, supreme. Ajinkya Rahane,
mm-hmm.
again, supremely
mm-hmm.
fit. Ridhiman Zaha, again, natural.
Mm-hmm.
Supremely fit.
Mm-hmm.
Jadeja, natural. He
right.
hasn't done weights at all.
Okay.
So he doesn't like. So
yeah.
I made him do. Lightweight, you know, very lightweight.
Okay.
Maximum 4 or 5 kilos you'll do for shoulders, you know,
mm-hmm.
to prevent any sort of injuries, etc. because of throwing.
Okay.
Because of bowling, but
mm-hmm.
he doesn't do much.
Okay.
He loves running.
So where does he get all his strength from if he's not into
that's
weight?
Natural again.
Okay.
Angle of throws.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fast twitch gene.
Okay.
So the Dhoni is seriously not a brutally strong.
Yeah, right.
Brutally strong. Oh, amazing athlete. Amazing athlete.
So is he into a lot of weights, Dhoni?
No.
Okay.
See, that's what I keep telling.
Yeah.
Weight sessions, it is instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
To put it on media and other things, it's good.
Yeah.
Suppose who's going to watch you running half an hour?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
This you can watch for 20 seconds, 10 seconds, then you're off. Okay, next exercise. Then you're running, you cannot do 10 seconds and then off, you go to the next exercise.
Yeah.
You know, that is what it is appealing also. Strength training is one of the most important things, components of fitness. No two ways about it.
Uh-huh.
But how do you use that?
So, but for
a lot
some
of things are used for marketing now.
But for someone,
Instagrams and, you know, TikTok or other Snapchat, etc.
Yeah. Now, but for somebody like Dhoni who clears the ground so easily, does he generate all his strength from his core then?
Yeah, very strong lower body and core. Very strong.
Okay.
Serious. Look at his legs and calf muscles.
Yeah.
Solid like a soccer player. He had a he was a goalkeeper also.
See the
background in India. Why you don't get a complete athlete? One of the reasons is you stick on to specialization too early.
Okay.
Whereas you see Australians or any Western countries, they play 2-3 games. And then when they come back to cricket, it's like a walk in the park.
Okay.
See Jonty Rhodes.
Right.
See the Australian women team captain. See the see David Warner or any of those guys. They play rules football or footy or, you know, get into athletics or hockey.
Two
games they need to play minimum in school.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in India, when the child is only as tall as a bat, they put them on specialization.
Right.
They don't. You have to have a multi-sport culture. Otherwise, you don't produce an overall athlete.
Right.
You stop there. Dhoni is like that. One of the examples. Multi-sport guy. Umesh Yadav, multi-sport guy. Athletics. Suresh Raina, again athletics.
Okay. Ram, you have trained athletes in cricket, table tennis, badminton, motor sports, football. Which of these disciplines is toughest in terms of fitness?
In terms of fitness, you can put tennis and soccer in top most.
Top most
tennis and soccer in around the world. And,
why?
I will tell you an example. I'll give you an example on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes your motor racing. Cricket will come last in level of physical fitness compared to your shuttle. It's again taxing. Seriously, it is very tiring. You need all components of fitness in that.
Right.
You know, here in cricket, you can specialize and be very good in one.
Yeah.
You know, whereas in individual sport, you have to be specialized in everything. You cannot say, you take a backhand, I'll take a forehand.
Right.
You know, or you take a smash or you take a serve. You cannot.
Right.
You know, okay, it is a multi-dimensional approach, isn't it? Complete integrated approach to fitness.
Right.
And cricket, you can do because it's a specialized sport. I mean, the skills are there. You can adapt to one specialty. Now they talk about T20, you have to be specialist in 2-3 things. No, yeah, T20 is okay. 24 overs, you're going to bowl. Fielding, you have to, how many balls are going to come to you. You have to look at three, you have to run fast and see, dive, leeway, all those things. Some brilliant catches. Okay, fine, fine. But it doesn't come anywhere closer to your tennis or your motor racing or your soccer or your basketball or your boxing or your MMA, rowing, you know, water polo.
Okay.
A lot of people don't realize that, you know. So, as far as cricket goes, if you compare these sports, cricket will be last in fitness.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
For sure. You take boxing, it's a sport. You take MMA, it's a sport. You know, what you need for that, it's a contact sport also on top of that.
Right.
You're a dead duck. You'll get hammered left, right, and
center.
Yeah. So, ESPN has done just 3 years back or something, 3-4 years.
Okay.
Top 60 sport in the world,
where
it involves physical as well as mental capacity to the core, all aspects of fitness and the mental faculty. Top 60. You can Google and see. You should be available.
Yeah.
Top 60, toughest sport in the world. Something like that.
Yeah.
Cricket is not there in top 60. You know, that we need to understand as Indians, as a culture, we love cricket. Cricket is a country game.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be aware of what it entails.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, you cannot say cricketers are the fittest guys in India.
Mm-hmm.
No way. What about soccer players? What about hockey players? Field hockey? What about rugby players? What about boxers? What about basketball players? What about volleyball players? What about the swimmers? What about water polo? Not swimmers, water polo. What about the racers? There are so many other games that are there, no?
So virtually every sport is fitter than cricket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That is reality. Nobody likes.
Yeah.
Nobody likes to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because you will become unwanted. Doesn't matter. For me, it doesn't matter actually anymore. I don't have anything to curry favor from anybody. This is the fact. Nobody likes. 5 years, 10 years down the line, they'll appreciate what I'm telling.
Mm-hmm. So across thousands of athletes that you must have trained by now, which is the fittest one, or who impressed you the most?
There are quite a few who impressed me the most, cutting across various sports. One is Naren Kartikeyan.
Mm-hmm.
For his age, 43, he's one of the fittest guys I've seen.
Okay.
Sharad Kamal,
mm-hmm.
37.
Yeah.
Then he won the World Championship recently.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Unbelievably fit.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have MS Dhoni.
Mm-hmm.
I have Somdev Varman.
Okay.
Whoever I trained only, I can. Arman Ibrahim,
okay.
Aditya Patel,
mm-hmm.
All in racing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Satyan, table tennis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Fit. Raman, mm-hmm. S. Raman.
Mm-hmm.
Fit.
Mm-hmm.
Satyan, I am training for young kids, supremely fit kids.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still youngster. I haven't trained any next level athletes. Then who? Which is the sport?
Mm-hmm.
Golf is a different ball game altogether. It is not nothing to do with physicality.
Mm-hmm.
We are more into technical mind.
Okay.
Cricket, of course, you have El Balaji.
Okay.
Supremely fit. Irfan Pathan.
Mm-hmm.
Rishant.
Mm-hmm.
Hemang Badani.
Mm-hmm.
These are the MRF Pace Foundation, all the Sinu Yohanan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh my God. Unbelievably fit. I can talk about all MRF Pace Foundation boys because they have to pass certain level of fitness levels.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have certain level of fitness.
Mm-hmm.
That is your B pass to be minimum of 14.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Base minimum, BRF minimum is 12.
Mm-hmm.
When they, by the time they graduate out, it has to be 14.
Mm-hmm.
It will be around 19 in yo-yo. 19 plus minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can imagine the fitness levels. All the Pace Foundation boys, any boys. I mean, from 2006 to 2011, 10 I was there,
mm-hmm.
9 I was there, till 9. You name it, fit.
Mm-hmm.
Umesh Yadav, again, I have seen Amit, this kid is very fit.
Right.
Vidhiman Saha, very fit.
Mm-hmm. So, Ram, you mentioned Balaji there. And, but the thing is, he got injured very frequently and all. But does it?
Not frequently. He had a, see. So, El Balaji's injury was because of wrong move, biomechanics movement.
Okay.
You know, he had a mixed action.
Mm-hmm.
And problem was, he was not diagnosed initially.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was working on a conservative method of, conservative approach, which proved counterproductive.
Okay.
So, then he went to UK and came back and Raman and me sat down, changed his running technique, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
Then rest is history.
Mm-hmm.
On his comeback trial, he made, he was the first to get a hat-trick in IPL, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, first to get and came back and in 2005, he had a osteitis pubis.
Mm-hmm.
Came back from England.
Yeah.
And within 3 months, he became okay and got a 9-wicket haul against Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, one of the fittest guys in the Indian team, then Kaif, again fit,
mm-hmm.
Mohammad Kaif.
Yeah, right.
Phenomenally fit guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So these are some of the fittest guys cutting across all sports.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple of, even I was involved with Brittany Amritraj tennis.
Okay.
Back.
Uh-huh.
It was like MRFA Foundation.
Yeah, yeah.
They shut down in 2001 or 2.
Okay.
Those kids, tennis guys, oh, supremely fit boys.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the tennis boys.
Mm-hmm.
They used to come in Pace Foundation and train, no?
Oh.
Naren. Mm-hmm. The tennis boys and Pace Foundation all trained together one day. Because I couldn't go everywhere.
Yeah,
so I told them all to come to one day.
Yeah.
No, they were like race horses, man. Thoroughbred race horses. The way they are, lean mass, you know, lean but mean athletic.
Mm-hmm.
All the guys.
Right.
Superb it was.
Mm-hmm.
No, still we have guys, there are a lot of guys, fitness has improved mm-hmm. overall, you know,
mm-hmm.
because of sports science and equipment now available.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has improved.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, correct knowledge has to be passed on.
Right.
Not to go on a hurt mentality.
Right. How important is the right attitude for good fitness?
Everything is starting off with attitude, no?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you don't have attitude, you cannot survive anywhere.
Right.
So attitude is everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very critical.
Right.
Very, very important factor. Have the right attitude mm-hmm. and right goals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ram, last question.
Yes.
Any advice you would like to give to youngsters who are starting out, athletes or non-athletes? Anyone who is interested in fitness, what should they look out for?
What they need to do is keep asking a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
No question is, I keep repeating this, keep mm-hmm. asking a lot of questions. No question is trivial
mm-hmm.
because you are embarking on something new.
Yeah.
One need to understand, you be have to be a, what do you call, development physical intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
I would put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be, have that physical intelligence about understanding your body and what your needs are.
Mm-hmm.
Don't follow things blindly
mm-hmm.
by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Keep asking questions so that there is no harm in developing knowledge, no?
Right.
Absolutely no harm in developing knowledge and knowing about your body, what is wrong in that.
Mm-hmm.
There is absolutely no, in fact, it's going to enhance your performance.
Right.
Whether you're going to take up sport or not, or be a recreational athlete,
mm-hmm.
you will be set above the rest, for
right.
sure.
Right.
Knowing what you're doing and understanding
mm-hmm.
your body better and mind better,
mm-hmm.
definitely it is going to enhance the performance
mm-hmm.
and increase your longevity over a period of time.
Right.
In sport as well as general fitness or weekend warriors or, you know, recreational professionals.
Mm-hmm. All
so
right,
we don't take, you know, take proper guidance from professionals,
mm-hmm.
whether you are doing your diet regime or your fitness regime or your prehab or rehab or your any sort of things related to fitness,
mm-hmm.
please take a complete professional advice.
Mm-hmm.
And no stone unturned.
Yeah.
No ambiguous, no dark corners.
Mm-hmm. That is the key. Oh. And like you said in earlier in the interview, that, you know, there's no one-size-fits-all solution for anyone. You have to
Absolutely.
Do your research. You have to ask the right questions.
Absolutely. You mm-hmm. have to, you know, it's a growing industry. What is pertinent today may not be pertinent tomorrow.
Right.
You know, what is the research proves.
Mm-hmm.
When research proves, when do you get the research paper usually? You'll get mm-hmm. it after 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, who is, suppose I'm doing a research.
Yeah.
I will release the research only after 5 years because I'm spending my millions of dollars, my time, energy.
Mm-hmm.
I will circulate only to the closest people and athletes whom mm-hmm. I'm training, isn't it?
Right.
Why should I pass it on to X, Y, and Z and the entire world to see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is 5 years they are having a handicap.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize. Your research is always 5 years later, especially mm-hmm. in performance domain, high performance
mm-hmm.
domain in sport.
Mm-hmm.
Like how your technology is improved for army, the
mm-hmm.
military first,
mm-hmm.
and then percolates down to the general, the GPS system, and all has come in 30 years back.
Okay. Yeah.
This has come only now. Can you say the research proves GPS system is very good? Guys will be laughing their gut out, man. That's how it is. That's
yeah.
how the sports industry is still.
Yeah.
So always they get under the thing of, why? How can you say that? Oh, research proves.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know you're locked in there, no?
Yeah.
They
right.
won't answer you. They won't
mm-hmm.
answer you. Most
mm-hmm.
of these guys, that's why bring in jargon. Bring in the research proves, research. Have you done your research?
Right.
No. Then talk up and keep quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And answer the question. Tell if you don't know, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Then please bring the research paper.
Mm-hmm.
Please bring the research. I want to see.
Mm. Right.
They won't know. You know, that's
yeah.
not the problem. You can get away with murder in India.
Yeah. All right, Ram, that was great talking to you. And and like always, it was very informative session. And
thank you, sir. Whatever little bit I knew, yeah.
So that was Ramji Srinivasan with his insights on sports fitness. Hope you enjoyed listening to it. And don't forget to tune in for the next edition of First Post Masterclass. Until then, stay safe and goodbye.